Welcome to Zichud Daf Simanim. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today we're Sechas Erev and Daf Lamed. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Gemara inferred from the Mishnah statement, Hanoter min hamazon muta b'mayim u'bamelach, one who vowed to abstain from sustenance is permitted to drink and have salt, that specifically only water and salt are not called sustenance, but all other foods are called sustenance. This seems to refute the opinions of Rav and Shmuel, who both said, Ein mevarchim borei minei mezonos, ela al chameshes aminim bovad. We may only make the bracha who creates types of sustenance on the five types of grains. Rav Huna said that there is no refutation because the Mishnah is referring to someone who vowed and said, Ko hazan alai, anything that satisfies is prohibited to me. Water and salt do not satisfy, but all other foods do satisfy. Rashi explains that the term mazon, on the other hand, implies something that sustains the heart, I give strength, and satisfies hunger, which is something only the five grains do. The distinction is evident in an incident with Rabbi Yochanan, who ate large amounts of the very sweet Peros Genesar, and although he felt satisfied, he expressed he was not sustained. Point number two, the Gemara brings two versions of what Beis Shammai holds regarding an Erev. It was taught in a Braisa that Beis Shammai holds, Ein ma'arvin le'nazir b'yayin le'yisrael b'truma. We may not make an Erev for a nazir with wine or for Yisrael with truma. When Beis Hillel challenged Beis Shammai, that just as Beis Shammai agree that one may make an Erev for an adult Erev Yom Kippur, even though the adult can't eat the food on Yom Kippur, since the food may be eaten by children, when Beis Hillel challenged Beis Shammai, that just as Beis Shammai agrees that one may make an Erev for an adult Erev Yom Kippur, even though the adult cannot eat the food on Yom Kippur, since the food may be eaten by children, so too one should be allowed to make an Erev for a Nazir with wine or for Yisrael with Truma. Beis Shammai responded that in the case of Yom Kippur, the Erev is a meal that was suitable for this person to eat while it's still day, whereas in the case of the Nazir, the Erev of wine was not suitable to him, Erev Shabbos. According to Hananya, Beis Shammai would only consider an Erev valid ad shiyotzi mitasav kol kli tashmisho l'sham, if one took out his bed and all of his utensils, which he'll need for Shabbos, to the place of the Erev. And point number three, the Gemara seeks to determine whose opinion of Mishnah follows. It states, Yesha amru akol lefi mashuhu adam. There are incidents when they said that the measurement is determined according to each individual, and no uniform measure was established. The kmitza for a mincha, the handful of ketores in Yom Kippurim, one who drinks a mouthful on Yom Kippur, and food for two meals for an Erev. Rabbi Zera said, it's Simchas, who said, Madachazi lebi'inan, it must be fit for the individual involved. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, the Gemara inferred from the Mishnah statement, Hanodamina mazon mut b'mayim u'b'melach, one who vowed to abstain from sustenance is permitted to drink water and have salt, that specifically only water and salt are not called sustenance, but other foods are called sustenance. This seems to refute the opinions of Rav and Shmuel, who both said, Ein mevarchim borei minei mezonos, el al chameshes aminim bilvad. We may only make the bracha who creates types of sustenance on the five types of grains. Rav Huna said that there is no refutation because the Mishnah is referring to someone who vowed and said, Ko hazan alai, anything that satisfies is prohibited to me. Water and salt do not satisfy, but all other foods do satisfy. Rashi explains that the term mazon, on the other hand, implies something that sustains the heart and satisfies hunger, which is something that only the five grains do. This distinction is evident in an incident with Rabbi Yochanan, who ate large amounts of the very sweet Peros Genesar, and although he felt satisfied, he expressed that he was not sustained. Point number two, the Gemara brings two versions of what Beis Shammai holds regarding an Erev. It was taught in a Braisa that Beis Shammai holds, Ein ma'arvin le'nazir b'yayin le'yisrael b'truma. We may not make an Erev for a nazir with wine or for a Yisrael with truma. When Beis Hillel challenged Beis Shammai, that just as Beis Shammai agreed that one may make an Erev for an adult Erev Yom Kippur, even though the adult cannot eat the food on Yom Kippur, since the food may be eaten by children, so too one should be allowed to make an Erev for a nazir with wine or for a Yisrael with truma. Beis Shammai responded that in the case of Yom Kippur, the Erev is a meal that was suitable for the person to eat while it's still day, whereas in the case of the Nazir, the Erev of wine was not suitable to him, Erev Shabbos. According to Hananya, Beis Shammai would only consider an Erev valid, ad shiyotzi mitasav kol kli tashmisho l'sham, if one took out his bed and all of his utensils, which he'll need for Shabbos, to the place of the Erev. And point number three, the Gemara seeks to determine whose opinion a Mishnah follows that states, Yesha amru akol afi mashu adam. There are instances when they said that the measurement is determined according to each individual and no uniform measure was established, such as the kmitza for a mincha, the handful of ketores in Yom Kippurim, one who drinks a mouthful on Yom Kippur, and food for two meals for an Erev. Rabbi Zera said it was Simchas who said, Maidochazi lebe'inan. It must be fit for the individual involved. All right, so now we go to our siman for Daf Lamed, and the siman is a Malamed, a teacher or Rebbe. So here goes. The Rebbe fed his class mazonos to satisfy their hunger and sustain them as they schlepped their beds and utensils out to make an Erev, along with two meals, measured according to each kid. Once again, in slow motion. The Rebbe fed his class mazonos. Rebbe, that must be more on Daf Lamed for Malamed. The Rebbe fed his class mazonos to satisfy their hunger and sustain them, which reminds us that the Gemara inferred from the Mishnah statement, Hanodr mina mazon, muta b'maim u'b'melk, one who vowed to abstain from sustenance is permitted to drink water and have salt, that specifically only water and salt are not called sustenance, but all other foods are called sustenance, which seems to refute the opinions of Rav and Shmuel, who both said only the five grains provide sustenance. And the Gemara has answered that there is a difference between the five grains that satisfy hunger and give strength, and other foods that satisfy hunger, but they don't provide the sustenance. So the Rebbe fed his class mazonos to satisfy their hunger and sustain them, as they schlepped their beds and utensils out to make an Erev, which reminds us of two versions of what Beis Shammai holds regarding an Erev. One version that a Nazir cannot use wine to make an Erev, since Erev Shabbos is prohibited to him, unlike food for an Erev for Yom Kippur, which one could eat while it's still day. The other version, according to Hananya, is that Beis Shammai would only consider an Erev valid if one took out his bed and all of his utensils which he'll need for Shabbos to the place of the Erev. So the Rebbe fed his class mazonos to satisfy their hunger and sustain them, as they schlepped their beds and utensils out to make an Erev, along with two meals measured according to each kid. Which reminds that a Mishnah that listed four instances where the measurement is not standard but it goes according to the individual follows the opinion of Simchus. One of those cases was the two meals of food required to make an Erev. So once again, the Rebbe fed his class mazonos to satisfy their hunger and sustain them, as they schlepped their beds and utensils out to make an Erev, along with two meals measured according to each kid. All right, now it's time for a four blot back chazora. Daf Chavav. So the simcha Chavav is a military coup. So here goes. The enemy soldiers, that must be more on Daf Chavav. The enemy soldiers hiding behind the pavilion in the orchard, which reminds us, a case was introduced on the bottom of Daf Chav Heyam base, in which the Reish Galusa had an arbor, a pavilion set up around a shady tree in his orchard that was over two Beisa and had not been designated for residential use. He asked Rav Huna Bar Chinina to adjust it for him so that they could go there on Shabbos and eat there. Rav Huna went and erected a fence of sticks, spaced less than three tefachim apart along both sides of the path leading from the house through the orchard to the arbor. Rashi explains that Rav Huna Bar Chinina held that it was prohibited to carry in the orchard because the arbor had been constructed only after the orchard's enclosure. Rava then went and pulled out the sticks because he held that the entire orchard was permitted. He held that the arbor was considered a residence, and putting it there converted the orchard into the courtyard of the arbor. Therefore, the orchard was considered enclosed for the use of the residents in it. The Gemara brings a few cases that support Rav Huna Bar Chinina's view that establishing a residence after the formation of an enclosure does not change the status of the enclosure. So the enemy soldiers hiding behind the pavilion in the orchard were so impressed by the temporary yeshiva set up next to the sick king's palace, which reminds us, the Gemara teaches that after Yeshayahu informed Yechizkiyahu that he was going to die, he exited the palace into the middle yard. The Gemara asks why Yeshayahu went out through this yard. Rashi explains that this yard was at the back of the palace and was not the typical way to leave the palace. Rabbi Bar Chana said in the name of Yochanan, Malam Shechal Chizkiyah V'halch Yeshayahu V'hoshiv Yeshiva Al Pischo. This teaches that Chizkiyah got ill, and Yeshayahu went and established a yeshiva near his door so that the schus of Limud Torah would protect him. From here we learn that when a Talmud Chochem gets sick, we should establish a yeshiva near his door. The Gemara rejects Rabbi Yochanan's advice, Dilma Asil Agrui Be Satan, because this might lead to inciting the Satan, meaning the Malach HaMavis, against him. So the enemy soldiers hiding behind the pavilion in the orchard were so impressed by the temporary yeshiva set up next to the sick king's palace that they surrendered and relinquished the rights to their courtyards and their homes. Which reminds that we stay in the Mishnah Daf Chav Gimel Amud Aleph, that Rabbi Elai heard from Rabbi Eliezer that if one of the residents of a chatzar forgot and did not join in the Erev, then his house is forbidden for him to carry in and out of, and the other residents are permitted to carry in and out of his house. On our Daf, the Gemara questions this ruling based on a Mishnah Daf Samech Tes Amud Aleph, where it stated that in the above case, his house is forbidden to all residents to carry in and out of. Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua answered that it's not a difficulty. Our Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Ezra, who holds Hamavatu Rishus Chatzero Beis Obito. One who relinquishes the rights in his chatzer also relinquishes his rights in his home, thereby giving the others the right to carry in and out of it. The other Mishnah goes according to the Rabban, who hold Hamavatu Rishus Chatzero Rishus Beis Obito. One who relinquishes his rights in his chatzar does not relinquish his rights in his home, and therefore the other residents as well may not carry in and out of his home. Daf Chav Zayin. So the Simra Chav Zayin is a kazoo. So here goes. Even though the music school said all instruments were welcome, the kid with the kazoo was banned. Kazoo? That must mean we're on Daf Chav Zayin. So even though the music school said all instruments were welcome, the kid with the kazoo was banned, which reminds us, the opening mission of the third parak states, B'kol ma'arvim shtafin chutz min ha'mayim min ha'melch. We may make an erev, meaning erev tchumim, or shitufu mavos, with any food except for water and salt. Rav Yochanan said, Ein l'midim min ha'klos. We cannot learn from general rules, afil b'makmish ne'emar b'chutz. Even when the rule concludes by saying, except, and specific exceptions are listed, it is not absolute. Rav Yochanan made his statement in reference to a Mishnah Kedushin that says, Kol mitzvah shazman grama anashim chayavim and nashim baturos. All time-bound positive mitzvahs men are obligated in and women are exempt. V'shazman grama echad nashim echad anashim chayavim. And mitzvahs which are not time-bound, both women and men are obligated in. This rule is not absolute because women are indeed obligated in the mitzvahs of matzah, simcha, and hakel, even though their mitzvahs asir shazman grama, and they're exempt from Talmud Torah, Peru Avu, and Pidyon HaBen, even though those mitzvahs are not time-bound. Similarly, our Mishnah, as pointed out later in the Gemara, does not mention that one may also not make an Erev with truffles or mushrooms. So even though the music school said all instruments were welcome, the kid with the kazoo was banned. So dejectedly, he went to the store and spent his Maaser Sheni money on salt water. Which reminds, the Mishnah also stated, Hakol nikach b'ketzav Maaser chutz min ha'mayim min ha'melech. All types of food may be purchased with Maaser Sheni monies, except for water and salt. In the Gemara, there's machlokes regarding if one can purchase a mixture of salt and water with Maaser Sheni money. One holds that one may buy salt water with Maaser Sheni. Rashi explains that since salt water is used as a dip for bread, it qualifies as a significant food. The other holds that salt water cannot be purchased with Maaser Sheni because Peir Be'inan, a fruit or something similar, must be purchased. The one who holds that salt water may be purchased with Maaser Sheni would certainly permit using salt water for an Erev. And the Ritva explains that Maaser Sheni would have greater restrictions since it's a Daraisa and an Erev is a Darabanan. So even though the music school said all instruments were welcome, the kid with the kazoo was banned. So dejectedly, he went to the store and spent his Maaser Sheni money on salt water, making sure they mix some oil in. Which reminds, the Gemara taught that Rabbi Yitzchak, who says that one can buy salt water with Maaser Sheni, only allowed that if there was oil mixed into it. The Gemara said one can buy Maaser Sheni with oil alone. So what's the chiddush that one may purchase Maaser Sheni with salt water mixed with oil? The Gemara answers that the chiddush is the concept of havlah, which means that one may pay more for the oil due to the value of the mixed in water and salt, even though the water and salt themselves do not become Maaser Sheni. The Gemara brings a braisa that teaches the source of this concept, that Ben Bagbag said that the extra word babakar in the pasuk regarding purchasing foods with Maaser Sheni teaches that we may purchase cattle and pay extra for its hides, even though the hides do not become Maaser Sheni. Daf Chav Ches. So the Simra Chav Ches is a strong man. So here goes. The big strong man, that must mean we're on Daf Chav Ches. The big strong man was going to eat the bird he bought with his Maaser Sheni money. Which reminds us on Daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis, two braises learned from the pasuk of Maaser Sheni, utilizing kol prat u'kol, which foods can be purchased with Maaser Sheni funds. One braisa concluded that the food must be prima priva gedulei karka, something that reproduces from its own seed and is nourished by the ground. The other braisa concluded that it must be vlad vlados ha'aretz, generated by something that was created from the ground. The Gemara asks what foods these two braises were arguing about, and after rejecting a suggestion that was erroneously presented in the name of Abaya, Ravina answers that the machlokes is about birds. The first braisa includes birds because they're also nourished from the ground, whereas the second braisa excludes them because they were not created from the ground, but from the rakak, a place where there was both dry land and water. The Gemara goes on to explain how each braisa arrived at their conclusion based on the different way they understood how to apply the principle of klal prat uklal. So the big strong man was going to eat the bird he bought with his Maaser Sheni money by his erev made of coriander, which reminds us, it was said in the name of Rav, Ma'arvin B'gudanios, one may make an erev with coriander. The Gemara questions this based on a braisa that teaches that since coriander causes one to diminish a zera, it should not be eaten by those without children. And if the stalks became hard enough for the seeds to have ripened, then even those with many children should not eat it since it's harmful to one's health. How then could it be considered a significant food to be used as an erev if it had such a detrimental effect? The Gemara gives three answers. Number one, Rav only permitted them to be used for an Erev for those who had children, and only when they were not hardened enough to harm them. Answer number two, even those that were not hardened were permitted to be used for an Erev by those that did not have children, since they are suitable for those that do. Similar to permitting wine to be used by Nazir for an Erev, since wine is permitted to others. And answer number three, Rav only permitted Midian coriander, which is a harmless variety. So the big strong man was going to eat the bird he bought with his Maisa Sheni money by his Erev made of coriander, right after his lesson from a young boy on the brachos for green grains and hops. Which reminds, Rabbi Zera had a discussion with the young boy outside the Beis HaMidrash regarding the brachos for kashus v'chaziz, hops and green grain. The boy said that his Rebbe taught him the bracha for hops was Barei Pri Adama, and the bracha for green grain was Shehakol Nieh B'Varo. Rabbi Zera said it was more logical that the bracha for green grain should be Hadama, since it grows from the ground, whereas the hops should be Shehakol, since it's nourished from the air. Rashi explains that hops do not sprout from the earth, but grow on prickly branches of shrubs. The Gemara concludes that the halacha is like the schoolboy and explains that since hops are a fully matured fruit, a Barei Pri Adama is said, whereas green grains are not fully ripened, so a Barei Pri Adama is not recited. Hops are also nourished from the ground, which is evident when they die after a shrub is cut down. Daf Chavtes. So the symbol Chavtes is a cot. So here goes. The indecisive Erev maker put five peaches on his cot. Cot? That must be one Daf Chavtes. The indecisive Erev maker put five peaches on his cot next to a cup of apples, which reminds us the Rav Nachman ruled that the minimum amount of apples required for an Erev is a cov, the amount sufficient for two meals. The Gemara challenges this ruling based on a ruling said in the name of Rav that five peaches is sufficient to make an Erev. Since apples and peaches are both fruits, why does Rav Nachman require the larger amount of a cov for apples? The Gemara answers, Hani Cheshive, the peaches are significant food for the meal. Rashi explains, based on the Gemara later on Amud Beis, that for those foods which are eaten as part of the meal, the full equivalency of two meals is not required. Rather, only the amount of that food which would be eaten during the two meals need to be placed in the Erev. Whereas Hani Lo Cheshive, the apples are not significant, and the larger amount is required. The Mefarshi mentioned the apples in Talmudic times were hard and not tasty. So the indecisive Erev maker put five peaches on his cot next to a cup of apples to decide which to use for his Erev, then changed his mind and chose to combine four foods for two meals instead. Which reminds us, it's stated in the Mishnah mentioned earlier, "Ubemazon shtei seudos le'erev," and all foods combine to equal the amount of food for two meals, which is the amount required to make an Erev. Rav Yosef thought to say, "Ad de'eka sudamahai v'sudamahai," that different foods may be combined only if there's an amount sufficient from this food for one meal and one meal from this food, but that smaller amounts of three or more foods may not be combined. Rabbi said to him, "Afilo mechzel l'shish l'raviya," even a half, third, or a quarter of a meal may come from each of the foods. The only condition is that the combined total equals the amount of two meals. So the indecisive Erev maker put five peaches on his cot next to a cup of apples to decide which to use for his Erev, then changed his mind and chose to combine four foods for two meals instead, and include a little beer. Which reminds Rav Acha Bar Rav Yosef thought to say before his father Rav Yosef that the amount of beer required to make an Erev is two quarters of a cup or two lugin. This was based on a calculation made from Hilchos Shabbos regarding caring, where the amount of beer one would be chayav for caring is a quart of a cov, which is four times the amount of wine one would be chayav for caring. So assuming the ratio of 4-1 is a standard, then if half a lug of wine is needed to make an Erev, then two lugin of beer should be required. The Gemara says that this question does not apply, since the reason we need four times the amount of beer than wine for caring is that we need something chashuv. Whereas with regards to an Erev, we don't require an amount that is chashuv. We only require an amount that people would normally eat, which in the case of beer is less than two lugin. All right, now it's time to conclude the pop quiz. 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Masechet Brachos and Shabbos. Number 1, which stuff do you go in the brachos for hops is Adama and green grains is Shehakol? That's on Daf Chavches. Good. Number 2, which stuff do you go in the amount of beer used for an Erev is less than two lugin, and we don't use a ratio of 4-1 from wine that we learned by Hilchos Shabbos? That's on Daf Chavtes. Good. Number 3. Which stuff do you win? Two opinions what Beis Shammai holds regarding an Erev. One being that the person must bring his bed and utensils to the place. That's on Daf Lamed. Good. Number 4. Which stuff do you win? That one can re-enclose a karpov to give it the designation of being made for residential use by making a breach in the wall and then repairing it. That's on Daf Chavdalad. Good number five. Which of the when the one must put oil in the salt water which was purchased with Maisa Sheni monies based on the concept of Havla? That's on Duff. Chavzain. Good number six. Which of the when one method for reducing the size of a car puff that was greater than 2 basah is to put mud on the inside wall of the fence? That's on Duff. Chafhe. Good number seven. Which of the when one can combine many foods to equal the amount of 2 meals to make an eruv? That's on Duff. Chavtes. Good number eight. Which of the learn Rabbi Yochanan teaches Enel Amidim Min HaKlalos? That's on Duff. Chavzayin. Good number nine. Which of the learn that only the 5 grains both satisfy hunger and provide one with strength and sustenance? That's on Duff. Lamed. Good. And number ten. Which Duff do we have a machok is whether salt water can be purchased with Maisa Sheni monies? That's on Duff. Chavzayin. Good. Now we go to the 3 bonus questions. Number one, which stuff to learn about Peros Genesar and the fact that pus would be tuffle when eating them? That's on Duff. Mem Dalet and Brachas. Good. Number two, which stuff to learn that one makes a brei meinim zonos on chamishas aminim? That's on Duff. Lamed Zayin and Brachas. And finally, number three, which stuff to learn about the 8 nisim that occurred to Klal Yisrael that we make brachas on? That's on Duff. Nin Dalet and Brachas. Excellent. All right, that concludes our pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avram Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.